You're listening to The Standard Podcast. Eye-opening for your ears.
สวัสดีค่ะโบสาวิตรีนะคะ This is We Need to Talk Podcast. Podcast Talk Show ภาษาอังกฤษสำหรับคนไทยที่ใช้ภาษาอังกฤษค่ะ Hi you guys, welcome back to our show. Thank you so much for listening. ตามธรรมเนียมของ We Need to Talk, โบจะชวนแกสของเราคุย3ประเด็นนะคะถ้าเป็นลิซ่าเนี่ยเรื่องแรกที่อยากจะชวนคุยคือเรื่องชีวิตในต่างแดนค่ะนี่ก็เป็นเด็กไทยอีกคนที่ได้ไปเติบโตต่างเมืองต่างวัฒนธรรมชีวิตในรัฐโคโลราโดสหรัฐอเมริกาจะเป็นอย่างไรบ้างเดี๋ยวโบจะถามมาให้นะคะเรื่องที่2โบต้องชวนลิซ่าเข้าครัวแน่นอนค่ะเพราะเรารู้จักเธอจากรายการ Master Chef Thailand ถึงจะไม่ชนะแต่ก็เป็นผู้เข้าแข่งขันที่มีแฟนติดตามเยอะมากเราจะมาคุยกันเรื่อง Behind the Scene และอนาคตของลิซ่าในฐานะเชฟด้วยเดี๋ยวรอฟังนะคะและเรื่องสุดท้ายหลายคนอาจจะรู้แล้วว่านอกจากจะเป็นเชฟลิซ่ายังเป็นครูอีกด้วยสอนอะไรสอนใครสอนที่ไหนยังสอนอยู่ไหมและอนาคตจะเลิกสอนแล้วไปทำอาหารอย่างเดียวเลยหรือเปล่าเดี๋ยวมาฟังกันนะคะเอาละค่ะตอนนี้ได้เวลาเปลี่ยนโหมดเป็นภาษาอังกฤษกันแล้วพร้อมหรือยังคะ Ladies and gentlemenIt would be my pleasure to introduce our guest for this episode of We Need to Talk podcast. She's the first runner-up of MasterChef Thailand. A lot of people didn't like her so much at the beginning, but almost all of them fell in love with her at the end because she proved herself to be an excellent chef as well as a very charismatic person. Let's meet her now, Lisa Dawson!Hello, hello, Lisa!
Hello!
Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for being here.
I couldn't miss it.
Honestly, let me start it off by saying I am such a fan. I watch you every single episode, and my husband and I would time ourselves every single Sundays. And we'll remind each other, it's almost 6:20. We gotta get home and watch MasterChef.
That's so great. Oh my God. I time myself too.
Yeah.
I have to be there to watch myself be embarrassed or whatever on TV Sunday.
How does it feel watching yourself?
Actually, at first I was like, okay, I gotta watch.
Yeah.
Because I wanna know how they're gonna portray me, right?
Right.
Because you're in the studio for so long and they're showing like 5 minutes of you.But I'm pretty sure the first tape, not the audition tape, but the first tape, the first, like, final 16, I think I'm on there for, like, a minute and a half. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're just going to get rid of me quickly.
It's a bad sign. It's an omen.
Exactly. It's an omen. They don't want me on TV. I look terrible. But, oh, thank God they didn't.
Yay.
And I didn't win.
But it's okay. You made it to the top two.
I know, but it was an awesome feeling. I didn't know at all they were bringing me back.
Yeah.
So from that tape, the tape that I went home, to the tape that we came back, there was radio silence on the show. They didn't have a taping at all for the whole week. So we didn't know we were coming back to tape.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm out. I'm done. My career is over. I'm never going to be on TV again. And then they're like, oh, we got to take you to Chongjin. They want to, like Channel 7, they want to do like an interview with all the contestants that already went home. And we show up at the studio and I'm like, oh my God, why would you play with our emotions like this?
Yeah. Oh, they tricked you.
Yes, they tricked us. And walking into that kitchen, we're like, oh, maybe we're going to be the judge. You know, we're going to judge them on, like, their cooking, like, for the final seven. And when we walk in and they're like, you're going to cook today.
Yeah. So that was a real reaction.
Yes.
You guys were really surprised.
It was all real. Like, everyone's like, oh, you knew you were going back. I'm like, no, I did not. Trust me. Or else I wouldn't have been crying on my birthday.
Yeah.
Like, I got kicked off of the show, like, 3 days before my birthday.
Oh, worst birthday present ever.
Ever. Ever. Oh, man.
All right. Before we talk more about MasterChef, you competing in MasterChef Thailand. Let's get to know you a little bit better. I've heard that you're Thai, American, Canadian, and also Indonesian.
Yes.
Right?
So many.
Which side is which? Your mom and your dad? Who's what ethnicity?
So actually, my dad is like white British, but he is from Canada,
mm-hmm.
and he migrated to America like for school and stuff. So I consider myself American.
Yeah.
Because actually, I've never visited Canada.
Yeah.
But I have like citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom. Dad is from Indonesia,
mm-hmm.
and then my mother's mom is from Ubon.
Oh, I get those who confused
so,
too.
Yeah, I know, but I know Isan is Ubon, right? Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm like Isan, Thai, Indo, so many. I'm like a mutt.
Yeah.
I'm like a ma, but kalau lain na pantang.
Oh.
You know, but I'm not ma na. But I'm not like. Yeah.
And obviously not.
I'm just a mutt. I get it.
So where were you born and raised?
I was born here in Bangkok at St. Louis.
Oh, okay.
And then I moved to the States when I was 14.
To where?
To Fort Collins, Colorado.
Colorado
is the Midwest.
Isn't it very cold?
Yes, very cold.
I mean, I was in my RV camper with my uncles. Yeah, every summer. We used to drive up to Minnesota and we used to pass Colorado.
Yeah.
And even in the summer, it was really nice and breezy.
It's the like the best weather ever. Because when it's cold, it's really cold. But it's like snow and like mountains. And then when it's hot, it's not as hot as Thailand.
Yeah.
But you can still go to the pool and have fun.
So you moved there when you were 14?
Yes.
Was it a big adjustment moving there?
The biggest adjustment was not being able to eat Thai food whenever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But other than that, no. Because when I was in Thailand, I went to an international school.
Oh.
I went to Ekamai mm-hmm. International School, EIS.
So it wasn't that big of a culture shock?
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah. So. What did you do after you graduated from high school?
Well, actually, I went to beauty school.
Really?
Yes. I went to learn how to do hair.
Nice. Some,
like makeup, nails. And then I was like, oh, this is like I don't like to touch other people's nails and hair. And, you know, I like to touch my own.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's not a career of choice. So I was like, and I really love cooking.
Yeah.
I mean, my first choice was to go to culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
But going to culinary school in the States is like going to aviation school. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, I can't afford to go to culinary school, so I just went to business school.
Mm-hmm.
And after business school, I still wanted to go to culinary school, but it just wasn't the right time, I think. Mm-hmm. So I just practiced cooking.
When did you find that passion, that love for cooking?
I think it was the first year I was in the States, like at 15.
'Cause did you have to cook for yourself?
Yes. So I went to live with my aunt, and mm-hmm. she doesn't cook very much. And she would always make, like egg dishes because they were, well, one, she's, like, a little bit stingy mm-hmm. with,
yeah.
you know, a little tight. So lots of eggs that were coming into my body. And I was like, I don't want to eat this anymore. I want to eat something else.
Lots of proteins, huh?
Thai. Like, a lot of palo, you know, like the five-spice soup.
Ah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm done with this.
Are you sick of it by now? Hello?
I don't eat it ever. Honestly, I don't like it's my least favorite dish. Because I love eggs,
yeah.
actually, but I don't like kai palo.
Because
maybe I have probably had like 500 of it in my body.
Throughout your entire life, I think you had enough of
exactly,
kai palo in your
like,
body.
Till the end of my life.
So if let's say a friend of yours is going to visit you in Colorado, where would you take them and where would be the highlight of your hometown?
To eat?
Or anywhere.
Oh, so
to do anything.
Places.
Really? Because I don't know anything about Colorado.
Okay, so I'm from a small town in Colorado. It's a college town called Fort Collins. And when you're in a small town, there's so many mom and pop shop. Like, not... what do you call it? Franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so everything is local, homemade. So I would take you probably Big City Burrito.
Oh,
best burrito ever.
That already sounds good.
And it's like, it's not a big place, has like three tables maybe, but you actually have to get in line. It's fast food-ish. So it's a line of food. There's a cook always preparing ingredients. Mm-hmm. And it's just burritos. There's nothing else. And the hot sauce is like freaking amazing. I've never had such good hot sauce. And another great place is Jim's Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you
like
know.
Like buffalo wings?
Yes, buffalo wings.
I love buffalo wings. Do you know how hard it is to find good buffalo wings
none.
In Thailand?
There's none.
Oh my God.
There's none.
Can you
I
please make
it myself.
Some? Please, can you invite me to your yes, dinner party
absolutely.
Next time?
I make it by myself all the time. It's like one of my favorite like things to eat ever.
Mine too. And you know what? In Thailand.
I got to get your number. You got to
yeah,
you can come.
For sure. In Thailand, when you go order buffalo wings, mm-hmm. they usually serve it with blue cheese and not ranch.
Yes.
And it's so hard to find buffalo wings with ranch in Thailand.
I know. What? And then the ranch doesn't even taste like ranch.
Yeah.
It's like a... Like
watered
salad
down.
Dressing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the sweet salad dressing.
Ew.
And it's watered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what is it called?
Like, cream salad.
Cream. Like, yeah. Some
ew. That doesn't... No, you can curse on this show. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
We don't judge.
Okay, good. Well, if you did judge, you wouldn't be inviting me here.
I know. Oh man. Next time you gotta okay. let me know when you
where,
cook your buffalo.
Where do you
wings.
Go to eat your buffalo? Actually, there is one good place.
Where?
Fatty's.
Really? Never been there.
Rama
before.
9. It's like a dive bar.
Okay.
There's about five tables there. Palam Gao. Like you
okay.
turn din dang and then on the right.
I will write that.
Under
down
a bridge.
After. For sure. Because my friends and I always are always looking for good
I feel
food.
Like I'm like giving people like free advertisement here.
I know.
Like telling you where to eat.
What else? What else would you take us to do?
Obviously, I would take you to a brewery tour. We're at Long Bia. Fort Collins is like capital brewery. Of,
oh, it is?
Yes.
I did not
of
know
America.
That. Nice.
There's like 20 or 30 of them in one tiny town.
See? I didn't know that. That's
you
cool.
You should go.
All right. Is there anything else?
No, my life revolves around food.
Yeah.
I don't really do much. Like, except like eat, go to eat, and
yeah.
cook to eat.
Okay. God, I could see that on a show, obviously. Yeah. So now that you're back in Thailand, did you know that at one point you'd be moving back here, or did it just happen spontaneously?
It actually happened spontaneously because... I actually just had like a falling out with a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad's like, you want to come back to Thailand? And then I said, yes, obviously. I don't want to see his face ever again.
Yeah.
And the next day, my mom sent me a plane ticket.
Wow.
And I was, yeah, it was like that. It
yeah.
was that quick.
And then you moved back here. When was that? Wasn't it recently?
Yeah, like 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
It wasn't that, yeah, that long ago.
Was there adjustments? Was there any cultural differences? Because you were there for a
right.
while. So when you get back here, did you have to adjust to anything in particular?
I did have to adjust to one very big thing, was living with other people.
Mm. But you lived with your aunt.
No, well, that was the only first year. Because
mm.
I was still a minor. Like, and then my brother, who was 18, came to live with me the next year. So I didn't have to live with somebody so old.
Yeah.
You know, like having the teenage life. And until, like, when I was 27, I didn't have to live with anyone, really.
Mm, okay.
So, especially my parents.
Yeah.
It's different when you have to live with someone that is, like, your age.
Yeah.
And having to live with someone so much older, you
for
know?
For sure, for sure.
And then the Thai culture, too. Like, you like what time are you coming home?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you going to be? What are you going to do? I'm like, for 12 years, I didn't have to tell anyone that,
yeah.
you know, and then now back to being 14 again. Yeah.
Do you still live with them now?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
No, it's totally normal for Thailand, though.
Right.
Because our culture is like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, until you get married.
Is it normal?
I'm just going to tell you it is so that you'd feel better.
Yeah, I'll feel better.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
No, but it is pretty
You're
normal.
You're so sweet, Bo.
Now, we're going to talk about something you really want to talk about and you're super passionate about is cooking.
Yay!
So, I've read in an interview that the first time you decided to call your mom here in Thailand was when you were in the States. I mean, not the first time you called your mom, but the first time you called your mom to ask her about a recipe or to teach you about cooking or how to cook was when you were in the States. Yes. Can you tell us about that?
So, you know, like I said, when I went to the States, I had to eat a lot of eggs.
Yeah.
You know, and then I got sick of it. So I was like, I got to call my mom. I want something else. I want to eat like her recipes, you know, because when I lived in Thailand, my mom would cook three meals a day, every single meal. Okay.
Wow.
Unless like we were going out to eat really good food.
Yeah.
Because other than that, I mean, we never had like McDonald's. Like, we never had fast food at my house.
Nice.
Yeah. And
healthy.
don't even think of like Lay's potato chips. Like, we don't have that.
Really?
Chai.
Why?
No snack.
Because it's unhealthy for you? Is that why your parents don't really buy them?
Because of it's unhealthy. It's because we just ate meals. We didn't snack.
Yeah.
Like, we're just not snackers. Even though it's like, that's what Thai people do is snack.
Yeah.
But my family wasn't. Mm-hmm. So all three meals were cooked by my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then going to live in the States, like, when is my next meal going to be? You know, like.
Come on, aunt. I'm waiting.
Yeah, it's like, it's time. Like, where's my breakfast? It's 7 a.m. No, it's terrible. Spoiled little brat. So, okay. So I had to call my mom and I was like, Mom, I want to eat.
Real food.
Real food. Good food. Can you tell me how to cook? I don't remember what it was. It's probably like some gangsom, like some type of curry, I'm sure, because I love spicy food.
Mm.
And then I start like cooking more. I found it therapeutic because I'm such a high-strung person. I'm very go, 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 go.
Yeah.
Very, what do you call it? ADHD.
It was just like hyper.
Yes, hyper. That is the word, hyper. So I thought cooking was very therapeutic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love most is like watching cooking shows and try to mimic what they're cooking.
And you could just do that? You could just watch it and like try to...
I think after a while.
Nice.
Like at first it wasn't so good. Like, you know, tom kha would look more like a dishwashing soap. But as time goes by, you know, it got better.
Yeah.
But I did feel like I... Not to, you know, toot my own horn. I did feel like I'm pretty gifted in the food. What do you call it?
Creating?
The taste. Like my palate, I think, is made for food.
Yeah.
Like, obvious. Wait. All people's palate is made
for food. No, because some people can't taste like different things.
Right.
Like they'll say
they
everything
can't pick
is good.
Things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm almost like that. I will say any... Well, no, actually, that's not true. I'm kind of picky about my food.
I think all Thai people are a little bit... what do you call it? Because, you know, Thai food has the five senses.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of other foods. Like American food, where are you going to taste?
Yeah. Grease?
Salt? exactly. Grease. Grease is the number one. A burger, the first thing you want it to be. Greasy. Pizza, first thing. Greasy. Damn, I've been to America for too long. So that is the first thing you want, is grease.
Exactly. You've mentioned in all the interviews that you've done that you like Gordon Ramsay.
I love him.
What do you like about him? I mean, what do you love about him?
Yes. I he's so sexy.
Oh my god!
Like the way he cooks.
No, really.
Like the way he cooks, he is so sexy.
Yeah.
Like he's so suave. He's so smooth. It's like the way he touches things. It's like touch me like that. You know? It's like I don't understand how he touches like eggs. Like touch me. Like
it's like
that.
An art. It's like,
I know. It's like
it's like a dance.
Exactly. It's like he's doing the tango with some steak. It's so, like, I don't even know how to describe Gordon Ramsay without using the word sexy. He has so much sex appeal. And I think that's probably one thing that I love. Like, food is sexy to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you eat, it's passion. It's like, some people might not connect sex and food together. And this is, that's what Gordon Ramsay does. And that's what I think when I see Gordon Ramsay.
Mm-hmm. What would you do if you ever run into him in real life?
Faint. Because I don't know what I would do.
No pictures? Like, you're not going to run up to him?
I think I would just, like,
fangirling?
You know, like, it's Gordon Ramsay. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I probably hug him.
Yeah.
Or fall or stutter. You know, so many things I would be doing.
Yeah.
Take off my clothes for him.
Hey.
Have me as your egg.
Touch me like your food.
Exactly. I'm the pen.
Oh my God, I can't.
I don't know. I love Gordon Ramsay. There's one man that I would be like, you can have me.
Yeah.
Free. Take it. Oh, I mean, like, the way he cooks, obviously. Okay.
Wink, obviously.
Obviously. I can't wink. When I wink, both of my eyes close.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so, I can't. Tell us about the day that you decided to compete in MasterChef Thailand. What made you decide to say, hey, I'm going to go out for this show? How did you hear about it? Because it's the first season, right?
So I saw it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And because I always follow any kind of food links, because obviously I love food. But I actually wanted to try out for Hell's Kitchen in the States. But then I was like, but I'm not a chef. You know, how would I go on Hell's Kitchen? And then I start watching MasterChef, which I'm like, so if it ever comes to Thailand, I'm going on that show.
Yeah.
And it did.
Your prayer was answered.
Exactly. Like, right away, when I saw it, I was like, holy caraparonis. Like, it's there for me. I was like, I just got to do it.
Yeah.
And I was really scared at first. I was like, you know, what if they don't choose me? And then I was like, yeah, what if they don't choose you? It's just a freaking clip. The worst thing they could tell you is no. You know, you
yeah.
Like,
what did you have to do for the audition? Send in a clip?
Yeah, just take a picture of myself.
Cooking?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you make?
I made a blue cheese burger.
Mmm.
Which is honestly very easy.
Yeah? Well, maybe to you.
I'm like, I didn't think of a hard dish to make. I thought if you can make a good burger, you deserve to be on a show called MasterChef. Because MasterChef is making someone good be better, not making a chef out of a chef. Yeah. If you're already a chef, why are you on MasterChef?
Exactly.
You know, then go on Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Or Iron Chef. But this is it's a show where I know, like, I'm capable of being better if the right people molded me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the show is all about. So I was like, the worst thing they can do to me is say, no, you're not coming. You know, and that's who's going to hurt. Not me.
Yeah.
No is a no.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to do a clip. And honestly, from the fact that I said, who is going to say no to me, to being scared and all that, it was from... I think it was a month in between until I did the clip.
Because
I was like, no, I'm not going to send it in.
You were contemplating.
Yeah, for a month. And it seems like, okay, that was a 5-minute conversation with self.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a month conversation with self.
Yeah.
So.
What made you realize and say, okay, I'm going to do it?
It was the last day.
Really? It's like, oh, I have no time left.
It was the last day of the deadline. Yes. I was like, oh, crap. Like, what else? I'm actually kind of a last-minute type of person.
And really?
I think I did well on the show is because, okay, you have an hour.
Yeah.
Think of something.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's
limited time.
And I think I did best under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I sent in the clip the last day.
Yeah.
I made it around like 11 a.m., sent it in at 11 p.m.
What time was the deadline?
Midnight. I got it
Hey,
in
you
time.
Got it in. You got it in, girl.
And I don't know if they knew that it was the last clip of the day, but I think it was. Because I was like, what do I have to lose? You know, I need to just do this for myself. If I really like cooking, then freaking do something for yourself.
Yeah.
And I did, I guess.
Yeah. And you made
and
it.
And I'm here.
Yeah, see?
So in your studio.
Yes. Never doubt yourself. Just do it. So what was it like shooting a reality show? How did that feel? And do you think they typecast you? Or did they put you in a certain role or portrayed you in a certain role for that reality show typecasting situation?
Honestly, I think I was very fortunate to be blonde when I sent in that tape.
Mm-hmm.
If I wasn't blonde and I didn't speak Thai and I didn't cook Thai food, I would be just some random, almost good-looking girl.
You're good-looking.
I'm good-looking.
You are.
I'm just
hello,
to,
we
you
stated
know.
That in the like earlier
I'm just
on
trying
the show.
To downplay this a little bit.
You're just trying to be humble, but it's okay. You
yeah,
can
but
say
I'm
it.
Not. Not a humble person. No. I think I was fortunate to be blonde then because I just dyed my hair blonde. And I was like, actually, it's not such a bad thing being typecast.
Yeah.
Because what season are they going to get having a blonde girl on the show that
exactly.
speaks perfect Thai? None.
Yeah.
I think.
Because the first time I saw you at the audition, I thought you were fully white.
Yeah.
I thought you were fully Caucasian. And I didn't even think you were half. And I was like, wow, her Thai is really good.
A lot of people thought that too, yeah. But then I was like, you realize you have to be Thai to be on MasterChef Thailand.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You have to be like nationality-wise.
Yes, oh. You have to be Thai. That's on every single, like, if you're on MasterChef Australia, you have to be Australian. Mm. And a lot of people on the show, like on the day of the audition, didn't want to talk to me because they didn't think I spoke Thai. And when I spoke Thai, they were like, oh, Ini, what was that? Yes, I can speak Thai.
Yeah. Now, we've been through a lot of comments on your Facebook page.
Oh, man.
And found that a lot of people kind of had the same opinion.
Hatred.
Exactly. Towards you. And they had a lot of same similar comments on, you know, a lot of people said, in and I quote, "Tòn lèk mì chòp lèi, tò yìng rù yìng chòp." You know, so you didn't make a good first impression
right.
as a contestant, but you gradually grow on the viewers and they started to like you the more they watch. Why do you think that is? You know,
connotation of me
exactly.
being the bitch.
Yeah.
Obviously. I think it's because that's the way I portray myself. It's like you either like me or you don't like me. And mm-hmm. the viewers kind of, it grew because this is me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to fake it on TV. I'm not trying to be someone I'm not. And at one point, people will be like, oh, okay, so this is, she's not being the Nang Lai, or she's not trying to be somebody, get on somebody's bad side, or trying to be the jealous person,
yeah.
like, in a soap opera. It's just, I'm not going to, if I don't like something, I'm just going to say it. And if people can't take that, that's just, I guess that's me growing up in a Western society that I just like to be straight up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to pretend to have somebody like me
yeah.
and then can't keep up with that image. You better just know me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I never got that vibe from you. That's because why I was so surprised.
You also lived in the Western world before.
Yeah, maybe. But I thought you were so sweet, and that's why I rooted for you since what? Early on. I told my husband, I was like, I really like this girl. She seems so sincere and so real. I was
and
like,
I thought that was me. That's what I was trying to do, is be the most me that I can be.
Yeah.
It's sincere. And I think maybe that was a little bit too much. I also think it's because of my competitiveness. And Thai people like friendly. Why do you have to always be competitive? But
you enter a competition.
What they don't realize is you realize there's only one winner in the end, right?
Yeah.
Like you can't all have 1 lan baht.
Yeah.
You can't all have 1 million.
Yeah.
You don't have 16 million baht to give you.
Yeah.
You know? Like if you all get together and be so nice and no one goes home.
Yeah.
That's not a competition.
I competed in AF.
Right.
And one of the questions, one of the questions people asked me were, "Oh, do you expect to win?" I do want to win, or else why would I be here? Exactly.
Yeah.
So I mean, I get you, girl. I get you.
Oh my God, when people ask that question, like, no, I don't want to win at all.
It's like, why are you here?
I didn't come here for the 1 million. I just came here to waste my time. And just, like, cook random food for random people and, like, have them just, like, annihilate me.
Yeah.
And make me cry on national television.
So brutal.
That's what I wanted to do. Of course I wanted to win.
Yeah. How is your personality in real life different from your on-screen one?
Zero.
Yeah, because you said you are yourself on screen.
I don't need to. I'm not a very good actor.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. No, I'm not. I don't know how to be somebody I'm not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just me, I guess.
So, Paul, one of the contestants have said, เขาเก่งทางด้านรสชาติมากทำอะไรไม่เคยไม่อร่อยและมีความคิดสร้างสรรค์ลิซ่าน่ากลัวตรงนี้ And you said it yourself. You said your palates were meant for food.
Right.
What do you think of this statement? And what makes you so good at this?
Okay. What do I think of that statement? I think Ploy is very sweet to say something like that about me. But, I mean, we're best friends. We're supposed to say stuff like that, you know? Say shit, like, to build each other up. Exactly. Boost each other morale, man. But I do think I have a good palate. Mm-hmm. I don't think my palate is Gordon Ramsay yet, but it's because I like to taste more. Like, I'm not going to say no to things unless it's pork. I'm not going to say no to eating things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try it. I can eat like a grasshopper. I can eat bala. I can eat anchovies. Whatever that is umami, that is like that. If somebody says this is good, eat it. I will eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that makes somebody better, I think. Because then you build your palate. You taste so many things. You can decipher what is what taste, what tastes like what. Like, if you are so close-minded mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. Well, how are you going to know what tastes like and how are you going to compare, you know, things like knowing the difference between cane sugar, white sugar, palm sugar, coconut sugar.
Yeah.
This is things that a chef, somebody wanting to be a Michelin chef, like myself, I aspire to be one. I need to also train my palate to be able to decipher things like this. Mm-hmm. I think that's what, I don't remember the question anymore, but I think that differs, that makes me different because I was exposed to more foods.
Yeah.
I think.
What's your most favorite and least favorite challenges on the show and why? I think I know your least favorite, but I'm going to let you say it.
My least favorite.
We could start with your least or your most.
Oh, my most favorite. My most favorite, I don't know. I like them all. I really love being on the show. I really like being able to make all these foods. Maybe my most favorite one ever is the one we went to cook the challenge after I came back, the team challenge
mm-hmm.
that I went to cook at the British Embassy.
Ah, the embassy. Yeah. Team was very smooth. Weren't you the
captain?
The captain of the team?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that was like my redemption mode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, you know, no one is going to screw me over today.
Yeah.
You're going to do what I say. And I am the chef. I'm the head chef today. The end.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that day I got to prove that if I was put in a kitchen that, you know, the show is called MasterChef.
Mm-hmm.
And you're training to be a chef. And I think I proved myself that worth that day.
Yeah.
That I can be the team leader and not be running around like a chicken with my head cut off. Like my least favorite challenge, the cake challenge.
I knew it.
I was just, you know, that's chicken.
The one, that's the one that eliminated you, right?
Right. Thank you, Bo. That is the one that eliminated me out of the competition.
And that's probably why you hated it, yeah. too. But you're not too good with sweets.
I don't eat sweets.
Yeah.
I don't like sweet things. So, yes. It was my least favorite because I forgot the milk.
Yes.
And it got me crying on national television, and it got me crying again at home watching it. So it's like a double cry. So I really hated it.
Note to self, don't forget the milk.
Yes. Next don't time. Ever make cake. Note to self, ever. Ever. And after that challenge, I actually went to make some cakes just so I won't be embarrassed if somebody asked me to make them a cake. You know?
Was it a success?
To a point.
Yeah.
But I didn't make any chocolate cake. I made like banana cake, carrot cake, things that I still would eat that is not so sweet.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, tell us about the friends and enemies on the show. I mean, are the feuds real?
Some of them are very real.
Ooh. But,
okay, friendship, very real. I take sincerity very, well, very sincere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a passionate person. So when it comes to something that I love to do and you're going to screw me over, it's going to be some feuds.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only in the kitchen, really. Because when we're not in the kitchen, we don't really bicker or argue. Everybody's friends. We joke around a lot. But when you're in the kitchen, all of us are going for the one title. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's got to be feuds.
Yeah.
If you're not passionate about being here, and that's my whole thing. If you're not passionate about being here, get the hell out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm here for a reason and I want to do my part. I want to win. And if you're just going to dick around, that's not me. So I'm going to say something or I'm going to be like, you know, then get out.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ones that the show portrayed so much of is me and Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because we're both from the Western world. He's from Texas. I'm from Colorado. We're neighbors.
Yeah.
And I think it's because of that, because we are both headstrong, like very high strung, opinionated people.
Mm-hmm.
And we both don't like to lose. We met the first day of audition and we said we are going to be in the final 10.
Mm.
It's a friendship from the beginning. So inside the kitchen, it was a feud because, well, I'm not losing, and you don't want to lose. So we're gonna that's like our own little side bet.
Yeah,
that I'm not losing to you,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the judges? What are they like? Because on TV,
brutal.
Yeah, they look very brutal, and there's certain demeanors that you know sometimes they look at you. From the like in the corner of their eyes, like tasting your food and sort of like looking down mm-hmm. on you. Are those all real, or how were you feeling when that all was happening?
Well, it's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it's a brutal thing
mm-hmm.
for them to react the way they do. It's they're training you to be under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Being a chef takes a lot of pressure from, especially being, say, if you're an executive chef, you have like 20 people under you and there's 100 people waiting in the dining room.
Yeah.
That is a lot of pressure. If you can take a little pressure from 3 people,
mm-hmm.
get out of the damn kitchen. That's what I say, like, when I cried when I left, it's not because of the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I failed myself. I failed them as a teacher mm-hmm. to me. I never thought like that's so brutal what they're saying. It's I don't care
mm-hmm.
because they're there to make me better, you know. And if people watching the show can't see that, then it's a competition. You have to realize they're. Your teacher.
Yep.
Just like if you have a teacher in school, the ones you're going to remember the most is the one that pushed you the hardest.
Yep.
So, good for them.
Yeah.
I love them.
What did you learn from them, from the judges?
Well, I learned not to be so angry when I cook. You know, like when I start cursing at myself and then I'm very, what do you call it? Lon.
Oh, okay. Like panicky?
Yeah. Kind of? And then I become panicky and then I start forgetting stuff. Like after I came back from the cake challenge, what I realized is the people that stay there longer are people that keeps their cool. You know, don't let those words get to your head. Make sure you're doing the job right.
Mm-hmm.
Just take your time and be more articulate. Because sometimes I am a little bit sloppy, and that got me kicked off the show, obviously, mm-hmm. because I forgot this and that. And when you're baking, you have to be very precise.
Exactly.
And I'm being a home cook, you don't have to be precise. You're like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Oh, that's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So being, I think that's what I learned is to be more organized, be more humble, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went on the show being very confident. And then I do realize, like, okay, you're not as good as you think. You know, I'm good. I got second. But I'm not as good as I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So kalmok has somehow became your signature dish. Why do you like to make it so much? Or why do you like the dish so much?
Honestly, well, because the show is over.
Yeah.
I don't like the dish that much.
It's really?
It's a family recipe. What I love about this dish is that it tells a story about my upbringing. It's not my favorite dish.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite dish is like gang som, it's an Indonesian dish, and it's not a wow dish.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't make it on the show, you know. And why I made kalmok. Kalmok is a little Indonesian. The lamb that I made is a Western homage to my dad's side of the family.
Yeah.
And it's for to make a dish that is two different world and in one dish. That's what I wanted to do, is a little bit of my mom, a little bit of my dad, and all of me on the dish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I made that dish. It's not because I love the dish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tasty dish,
yeah.
obviously, or else I wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tribute to my family more
yeah.
than anything, because that was the only time I got to make a dish that is me, that mm-hmm. is my family.
Besides the gangsom, right?
Yes.
Besides that, what else do you like to eat? What are some of your favorite dishes?
Steak.
Ooh, what kind? What part?
I love meat so much. Ribeye.
Yeah?
The fattiness of the ribeye.
Oh,
like medium rare with jiao on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect. Love some now. And sometimes pupala. Like, I have to. It's like a 3 times a week thing.
Yeah?
Yes. And I have my sometimes lady.
Yeah.
Like, I have 2 different sometimes lady. One in Rungsit and one in near Paradise Park.
Yeah.
It's a lotken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So good. And I make her put like two crab in my somtam, so I can like, it's so good. So good.
Do you know how to make your own somtam?
Yes, of course. But
yeah.
My nampala is like from Tufts, you know? Like,
yeah.
Their nampala is like they made it.
Like real.
Yeah. It's
man.
Real deal.
Mm.
I think
we're making people listening to this episode
very
super
hungry.
Yeah,
yeah.
We apologize, you guys. We should have like caution.
Yeah.
You'll be very hungry listening to this podcast.
But I also love like spaghetti.
Mm.
Like meat sauce, or I actually just really love beef.
Yeah.
Like anything with beef, I like neukatha, like I can eat all day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Japanese grill, Korean. I love Korean grill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Korean town is my sumsing, you know? Like, my spirit is there at all times.
Yeah.
Love kimchi.
Mm.
I just love food. Indian, I love Indian
food. I love Indian food, too.
I make the best chicken vindaloo ever.
Oh, my God. Seriously, next dinner party, you gotta include me on your guest list. I'm like, I'm gonna crash your dinner party.
Like, I love to eat so many things that it just, now I'm so hungry.
Oh, me too. In college, my best friends and I, we would call ourselves the Food Appreciation Club. Because we like to eat so much.
We need to be in the same club.
Yeah, girl. Thailand chapter.
I think I love eating just as much as I love cooking. That's probably why I know so many places to go eat. And I'm okay, when it comes to food, I'm not stingy. Like, my salary, like, my boyfriend always says, my friend always says that 80% of my salary goes to food. And the rest is just, like, I don't ever buy clothes because I rather buy food.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't, like, seriously. Like, clothes are given to me.
Yeah.
By my mother, obviously.
But food.
Food is like, oh my God, I will pay for food. I will pay for Wagyu. But free ka dai na. Laan nai ya.
Lap mod.
Lap mod. Lap mod.
De long IT hai.
Promote. So I go to eat at, like, it could be like the Kang Tang, like on the side street, or it could be a Michelin. Mm-hmm. I will eat at every restaurant.
Yeah.
Like today I had Khao Kang, you know, like Kang Tai. Mm-hmm. So good. Oh my God. This morning at 9 a.m.
Whoa. That can't be good for your tummy though.
I woke up, called a motorbike, pee, malap noi. Go to eat, come back, get ready to come here.
Oh my God. Khao Kang Tai, it's very spicy.
Yeah, I love it so much. It's, and then like, if you go to this place, they give you extra nampik, like, for free. And vegetable for free. And then I have, like, gang som no mai dong, you know?
Oh, my God.
And then gang kathi no mai kai. Like, everything no mai and dong and spicy.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah, first thing in the morning. Before my glass of water, even.
That can't be healthy.
It's so good. I eat so unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, it just has to be like spicy every meal.
Dang, girl. Your tummy. It's so yeah. What kind of plans do you have for your cooking career?
I don't know. I'm going to cook.
Yeah.
I want to do so much. Mm-hmm. I want to do so many things. Like, I want to do a cookbook. I want to be a chef. Yeah. I want to be a Michelin chef one day.
But you'd have to go to school for that, right?
Well, do I? Do I?
I don't
yes.
know.
But no. I would love to go to school. But that's, I'm 30 years old. You know? Like, I know I look really young and all. But, like, I want to do so much in so little time. And, like, time is of the essence. Like, I feel like there's never enough time to do what I want to do. And the least I want to do is to be able to cook what I wanted to cook and to be able to cook and make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
When I see people eating my food, it makes me happy. And that's really all I want. But to be a Michelin chef is like another step. So to start that, I probably need a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably open a restaurant in a couple years after I'm actually good at cooking.
Yeah.
Like better than this.
If you were to have a fantasy dinner party.
Gordon Ramsay.
Who? You knew what I was going to ask you. Who would be your three guests at this party and what will you cook for them? Gordon Ramsay, that's one.
Gordon Ramsay, obviously. Who else would I want? Obviously, me and him is enough.
Yeah, no? It's like a date.
I know, a dinner date for real. No.
What would you cook for him if it were just him and you having dinner?
I wouldn't cook. He would be cooking. He'd be cooking me beef Wellington. Give me that beef. No, I would make. I don't know what I would make, but I would have Gordon Ramsay, my mother, and my grandmother. These three people have influenced me the most in my life for cooking. And it's to make them something that, you know, is out of this world. Hopefully, by that day, I can, obviously, my grandmother is not around anymore, but hopefully by that day, I will have the best recipe ever you know, to make them proud of my career being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least.
Already. So
let's
quick.
Talk. No, not last, but last on like the topic.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about your lesser known career, which is teaching.
I'm done with teaching.
You're done? You were then. You were an English teacher. Where were you
okay,
teaching
so
at?
That is an overstatement. I am a freelance teacher. That means if I have somebody that wants me to teach them English, I teach them.
Okay.
And
so like a private tutor.
Private
almost.
Tutor. And I, what? Okay. When I moved back from the States, I went into marketing, sold like booze.
Yeah?
Yes. I sold whiskey for like 2 years. Shy, high-end stuff. Like, and I realized that I really love children.
Mm-hmm.
Because
wait, how did you get?
I know.
How did you relate to children?
No, no, no. I'm about to relate this story.
All right.
So
go.
when I was working, one of my friends who has a English teaching camp, adventure camp.
Mm.
So he like asked me like, Lisa, you are American, right? So can you come teach at a camp for me because I can't find enough falang.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes, of course, because it's only like 3 days and it pays well and I don't have to work so much.
Yeah.
And it's children. Like what can go wrong? I didn't think of all the things that could go wrong.
Yeah, with like, that many children
Lisa,
around.
You work with alcohol and you're going to swap lives and go teach children
yeah.
English at camp, not in Bangkok. You got to stay with them for 3 days. Nothing can go wrong. So I was like, yes. So a lot of things went wrong. But then I realized like, oh my God, I love teaching. I love students.
Mm-hmm.
I love, because it makes me happy being around children.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there's no stress. There's not a, it's a different stress, but when you're around them, it's like, goes away.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, you know, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
So I asked my friend, like, you know, how many of these do you have in a year? Because if I can have like 4, 5, 6 camps in a month, that's enough for me for my whole month.
Mm-hmm.
Then I can focus on something else that I really love is cooking.
Yeah.
So I decided to switch career right away. Like, honestly, like in
yeah.
a month.
So you became a teacher.
A teacher, but it's not really a lot of teaching. And then I did the side business of if somebody asked me like, oh, you piece on duo le bao, like, you know, do you teach as well? Like, I can. And then I just teach at home.
Yeah.
So, but now I don't teach anymore.
What do you like the most about teaching?
Children. I don't like teaching as much, but I do love the fact that it's just like cooking for someone.
Mm-hmm.
They're appreciating what you're doing for them.
Yeah.
It's such a sweet feeling. It's like you're actually getting paid for them to appreciate you. It's like, what the hell? You know, like, how is this? How did I not know that this exists?
Yeah.
That you are feeling so overwhelmed with gratitude by getting paid to do it. You know, like,
yeah.
This is the best career ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, just, like, cooking, seeing somebody being so happy to eat your food, it's, like, the same emotion. And that is, I think that's why I love teaching.
Yeah.
And that's why I love cooking as well. Seeing the other people, that gratitude that they get from your doing.
Yeah.
You know.
From your own creation.
It's like you give someone some, like a gift,
yeah,
and seeing their face of loving it, you're
yeah.
just like, oh my God, I love that feeling.
Yeah,
the gift of giving. Yeah.
All right, our next section is called This or That. So we have 5 pairs of words or situations, and you'll pick one of each pair, then explain or elaborate on your choice. The first one, cake or ice cream?
Neither.
I know. I was going to say, it's going to be hard because you don't like sweet.
I have to pick?
I mean, I guess. I mean, if you can choose, like, okay, neither, right?
I would pick ice cream, and it would be chocolate. Because I love chocolate if it's, like, a little bit salted, like a caramel salt.
That's my favorite from Haagen-Dazs. Ah, yes. Okay.
Or sticky, chewy chocolate ice cream from Swensen.
Mm-hmm.
The best one, because it's, like, bitter.
Mm.
Love it. So,
like,
good.
So, like, you're more, like, a dark chocolate person.
Definitely. I'm dark.
Oh, I'm yeah. Dark. Flight or invisibility as a superpower?
Invisibility.
Yeah.
For sure.
Why?
So I can be wherever I want. Yeah. And people don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Being Gordon Ramsay's house without him knowing.
Stalker! Stalker alert!
Oh my God, I talk about Gordon Ramsay way too much. I need to be like...
get a job as a babysitter or get a job as a dog walker?
Babysitter.
Because you love kids so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I actually, like, I would do both.
Yeah.
You know, like, because I love puppies.
Mm.
Yeah. But if big dogs,
Yeah.
And they stink sometimes. But babies stink sometimes too. When they poop.
Yeah. And you need to change. And you, if you have to be the one
changing that diaper. Uh-uh. That's why I teach kids that are older than 4.
Who can take care of themselves.
Yep. You are cute, but you don't cry or poop.
A perfect boyfriend who is 1 meter tall, or a perfect boyfriend who's 3 meters tall, and that's taller than the tallest person in the world, who is 2.72 meters tall. So someone really
like
short.
That's just really tall. That's just really, really tall. But I would go with tall.
Yeah.
I don't like short men.
Yeah. Living in a boathouse for 5 years and never step on land, or living in a treehouse for 5 years and never come down to the ground. And you'll have all you need delivered to you, and you'll have internet.
Boathouse.
Yeah.
I mean, love the water.
Yeah.
I love the water. Like, I love going to the ocean. Like, it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, my dream life would be, like, on, like, Gotlanta, having a small little hut with me cooking Michelin food.
All right, our last section is called What If. So, hello, Miss Colorado.
Hello.
Please draw up a question from the jar.
All right. Looks like this one has never been opened.
Here.
Oh.
I'll read them out. I'll be Steve Harvey.
Okay. Oh, Steve. So, you're going to mess up.
Yeah. I'm going to announce
mess up on the winner.
I'm going to announce the wrong winner. Sorry.
Good thing I'm
about
here
that.
By myself.
Okay. So, your question is, Miss Colorado, are you ready?
Yes.
What amount of money per month would it take for you to give up your mobile phone and internet forever? ต้องจ่ายให้คุณเดือนละเท่าไหร่ถึงจะยอมเลิกใช้โทรศัพท์มือถือและอินเทอร์เน็ตตลอดชีวิต
Well, Bo, thank you for the question. If I could have any amount of money to give up my internet and mobile phone, I would like... maybe, like, nothing, because I want to save the world and make it such a greener place.
And world peace.
And I love world peace. And I love children.
I love the accent that comes with it. Thank you so much, Miss Colorado.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
But for real life, I would answer be like a million baht, okay?
That's not
like
enough.
Like, for real, not enough.
I love it. I had so much fun today, so thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. I love it.
And
I
wish
you the best. This is so much fun. I wish all my interviews are in English.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be like, kamalewa. You
right.
know?
You had to think
all
twice.
The time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bo.
Yay, that was so much
Thank
fun.
You. Yay.
Thank you.
I love this.
Yeah, that's so much fun.
ถ้ารู้ว่าเพื่อนคนไหนรักภาษาอังกฤษชอบฟังภาษาอังกฤษและเรื่องราวชีวิตที่น่าสนใจของเซเลบหลากหลายโบฝากแชร์เอพิโซดนี้ให้เขาฟังด้วยนะคะ
Binge listen to all of our shows and episodes.at thestandard.co/podcast The Standard Podcast เปิดหูเปิดตา ปิดใจเปิดโลก